Genesis 22, I totally receive that we want to be intentional champions. I totally receive that we want to work into the ascending place. And I totally receive that this is an ascension week. I just recognize that the prayers of life are starting to change things. And in this house, I believe that it's going to change it. But see, it already changed something because it changed how I see something that's been a traditional thing. And I understand when people speak about generational curses, for example, I understand what was being taught, but I also understand it now from a brand new place because the Spirit of life is speaking into it. The Spirit of life is revealing into it. So come on a journey with me here. Genesis 22. Verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea, and thy seed shall possess the gate of its enemies. Thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. My seed will possess the gate of the enemy. It's time for us to shift into understanding these things aren't just empty promises for a different generation. There are promises for me. There's three things he's delivering. He's blessing Abraham. He's blessing. He's putting a blessing on his life like very few people have ever had. But guess what? God didn't intend for Abraham to be the pinnacle of what God is doing in the earth. We're supposed to look like this man. So he's blessing him. He's multiplying him. We talked about that last time where he's bringing a multiplication into everybody's life. He's bringing a multiplication, spirit, soul, and body to you. He's bringing a multiplication in your finances. He's bringing a multiplication in your understanding, in your wisdom, in every part of you. But he also wants us to be able to lock down the gate of the enemy. But sometimes we've left those gates wide open. Come on. When we leave the gates wide open, guess what? Things happen that we don't need happening. But you have authority. There's a power and authority given to you to close the gate. There's a power and authority given to you to stand in the middle of the gate and say, you ain't going in here. You ain't coming out of there. Whatever it takes for you, you got the power and authority to stand in that gate and say, hey, enough's enough. You're going to have to back up. You know, sometimes with my puppy dog, I have to stand in the gate there and I look at him and say, back up. You're going to have to wait. You stand right there. And you know what? Generally, when I come back out, he's standing right there. He wants to go through. But you know what? It's not always appropriate for him to go through that gate. It's not always appropriate for him to be coming into my bedroom. Okay, I don't need him to come into my bedroom every time I go in and out. I don't need him to go in the bathroom with me every time I go in and out. Okay, if you don't understand, that's what dogs do. They just want to be with you wherever you are. But sometimes I need for him to stand and wait. There are just times when you just need to tell the enemy, hey, back off, back up. You cannot go through. I'm going in here because this is the place of my blessing. I'm going in here. This is the place of my release. This is the place of my freedom, and that's where I'm going to. Hallelujah. We talked about the generational curses. And for those who don't understand, basically generational curses is a doctrine that is taught, but I've known was not accurate for a long time. And before you all get your prophet rocks out and throw stones at me, just understand, number one, God's not cursing anybody. That's not his nature. Even in the verses that are used for that, let me just read one of the verses that's used for that to prove that doctrine, which basically says here, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, yet will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren on the third and the fourth generation. But listen what it says before that, verse 6. The Lord passed by in front of him, proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Now, does that guy like somebody who's just looking for a reason to toast you?
Does that sound like somebody who's looking for a reason to toast you because of something that your daddy did? That's my point. That's my whole point right there. He's not looking to toast you. He's looking for reasons to bless you. He's looking for reasons to reveal himself to you. He's looking for ways to come to you and show you how gracious he is, how much he loving kindness is. Is he a God of order? Absolutely. But is he looking to just ruin somebody? No. He wants to draw us all into righteousness. He wants to draw us all into an ascension with him. He wants to draw us all into a family and community that begins to resemble who he is. That's his purpose. And sometimes in those days, a lot of families in those days lived 3 and 4 generations in a household. So if one man's unrighteousness would begin to rub off on everybody else, when he's saying, I'm going to visit the iniquity, all he's simply saying is, I'm going to inspect the house. I'm going to come and inspect and see what is going on. Because if everybody here is acting like that one guy, then we got to deal with it. We got to bring order and correction to it. But at the same time, if the son is acting correctly and acting according to the word of God, he has nothing to worry about. Because no matter what the father did, God is not according that to him. In those verses, it says, for those who hate me. Guess what? There's nobody in this room that applies to. So this was never us. Okay? Say, never me. All right. And so sometimes we do have to admit that there are consequences of sin. We do have to recognize that there are family patterns and familiar spirits. Those family patterns and familiar spirits, God will help you to deal with. He's already given you authority. That's when he's talking about your gates and making sure that you understand that you're in control of the gates. That's the part where we get to break those things off. You know, but sometimes there's been training of the soul in ways that's not healthy. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 tells us that we're redeemed from the curse, that he became the curse. He became the curse. In other words, he didn't just redeem you from the curse. He became the curse on your behalf. That means you don't have to bear the consequences of it. When he became the curse, you no longer have to bear the consequence because what? He bore the consequence. He redeemed us from that curse. He redeemed us from the judgment. He redeemed us and he bore all of our sin. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said that he became sin. It's necessary for us to understand he became sin. He didn't just act like sin. He became sin so we could become the righteousness of God. It's what it says in the scripture. All I'm doing is quoting the scripture. He became the sin so we can become righteousness. He didn't act like sin. He became sin. I don't have to act righteous. I can be righteous. Big shift. When he became the curse, in that moment, when in the wilderness, remember in the wilderness, the serpents were sent to attack because of all the murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. They would lift up the serpent on the stick. It's a symbol of what they did with Christ. Why? Because that which they hated, that which was bringing the pain, was lifted up. And when you saw it in the background of God, then your cure came. Your healing came. He became that sin in the same way, hanging on that cross. He was wrapped around that stick. He was wrapped in that moment. He became the very thing that we hated, the very thing that was harming us, the very thing that was hurting us, and he set us free. In John 12, verse 32, where it says that I'll draw all to myself, the word there, they put in the word men in there. But that word is in italics. It was never in the actual original Greek. What he's talking about is, I'm going to draw all the judgment to myself. And when I have drawn all the judgment to myself, then it's going to be upon that cross and it's no longer upon you. So go with me to Romans 4. And we'll get to the main point here. I want to bring everybody in this room into an ascension moment. I want to bring everybody in this room
into an ascension moment, but I want to put us on the same page so that you know that you're walking righteousness. Romans 4, verse 3, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 6, and here's the blessing. This is David's description of the blessing. Remember the blessing that was on Abraham's life? Even as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Are we talking about Abraham? We're talking about Abraham. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, the blessing that was on Abraham's life was a new covering, a covering of righteousness that was given to him, a covering of righteousness that he got to stand in. And guess what? That righteousness that he was standing in gets transferred to you. We'll see scripture for that in a little bit. It gets transferred to you. If the Lord is forgiving all of my unrighteousness, if he's forgiving all of my iniquity, why would he leave my father's iniquity on me? Come on. Okay? Doesn't compute, does it? He's cleansed me of all iniquity and all unrighteousness. It's not just me, but everything that was behind me, everything that came up into me on my way up and on my way into this ascension, it was already delivered off of me. See, that's something that happens when you start partaking in life. Something happens when life starts getting a hold of you. And when life gets a hold of you, it shifts even what's behind you. Hallelujah. Was your sin paid for at the cross? It was all paid for. Everybody's. If we'll let it. If we'll have faith in God. If we'll have faith in Him. If we'll understand and stand in the place of faith. In Galatians 3:13 about the curse, basically Galatians 3:11 says, if we'll have faith in God. In other words, that our faith, we're justified by faith. You realize that in most scriptures, you know, they're mentioned once or twice, and if it's mentioned three times, it's really important. Justified by faith, that concept, is mentioned at least 10 times. 10 times. Justified by faith. In Hebrews, it's mentioned justified by faith. Back in Habakkuk, it's justified by faith. In Romans 3, it's justified by faith. Romans 4, it talks about justified by faith. Romans 5, it's justified by faith. 2 Corinthians, it's justified by faith. Romans 1, justified by faith. If he's justifying mine by faith, he's not imputing my sin. Why would he impute my father's sin? So that whole doctrine goes out the window. Right there. The whole doctrine is swept out. Why? Because God is here on the scene and he's already provided you a victory. He's already provided you somewhere to go. And we're going to go there in just a minute. Hallelujah. Go with me to Hebrews 10 real quick. In Hebrews 10, he says this. For by one offering, he is perfected for what? Forever. For all time. Those who are sanctified. He's perfected forever. Now I ask you, when does forever start? When does forever start? No, it's not right now. Forever started way, way, way behind me. I don't know where it started. But when the earth was formed, it's when forever started. And forever goes on as far that way as I can see and as far that way as I can ever interpret. It doesn't matter how far because forever inhabits the whole stream of where I'm going to be. God said, I was perfected. I was perfected for all time. Not just my time, But that means my father's time and my grandfather's time and my great-grandfather's time and my great-great-great-grandfather's time. Everybody's time who might concern me was already perfected because why? He accepted me. He sanctified me. He set me apart and he put something in me. He put something in you. He set you apart. Just say that. He accepted me. Perfected for all time. So when we see the result of that in verse 17, and their sin and their lawless deeds or their iniquities, I will remember no more. Not just mine, but my father's and my grandfather's and my great-grandfather's and my great-great-great-great-grandfather's. And all the way back. I don't remember them anymore. So I can quit living under that shadow. I can quit living under that place. And see, when I see this truth now, it sets me free. What bugs me is that I have known people, you know, and I have ministered in this past about the generational curses, but I've ministered it out of an old mindset, an old mindset, and I saw results. But what I didn't understand was the results were coming because of the faith. The faith. Not because the doctrine was correct, but because of the faith. The faith was correct. What? We're justified by faith. We're made whole by faith. It was the faith all along. It wasn't because the doctrine was right. It was because the faith was taking something into the place, the holy place. And God said, you know what? Close enough. I'll count it. He doesn't need for us to be perfect in our theology. Hello, somebody. I'm glad for that. Because until I look like Jesus, I'm not perfect in my theology. But at the same time, I can say, at the same time, when truth comes, let's adopt truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Shall we be saved by his life. That's the thing that we want to recognize here today. Because we were co-resurrected. We were co-buried with him. Now we're co-resurrected with him. And when we step into the resurrection life, that resurrection life is going to have an impact on everybody who contacts me. As it had an impact in me. When it has an impact in you, it begins to shift everything around you. It begins to impact everybody around you, everybody who comes in contact with you. It's going to shift your neighborhood. It's going to shift your family. It's going to shift your workplace. It's going to shift your church. It's going to shift what happens in this city. Because why? There's a co-resurrection life that we're getting to operate out of. This is where we're going. Co-resurrected. Verse 15 tells us the gift comes by grace and abounds to the many. The gift of life. The gift of the blessing. You realize that Adam had his covering stolen in the garden. Adam had his covering stolen, and yet the Lord comes and he puts a new covering on us when he releases his blessing. He released a blessing on Abraham, who was the covering. He releases a blessing on you and I. It's the covering. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 4 basically tells us that our mortality is swallowed up in life. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about death, where is your sting? And death is swallowed up by victory. This victory is found in the life. The victory is found in the life of God. And the life of God is the victory for all of us. And it means we're no longer under the curse of a generation, something that's already past us, something that's behind us. We can begin to stand in the fullness of what he's actually leaving and releasing today. We can stand in the fullness of what faith has obtained for us. We can stand in the fullness of what grace has released for us. Well, I'm encouraging you. I just want to ascend in life. I want us to ascend corporately here. If you're not familiar, just repeat the words, but come into an agreement. If you know how to ascend, ascend with me. Help bring all the peoples in. Draw all the people up. Draw all the people up. Because the more that we do this as a corporate body, the more we're affected by it. But I guarantee, even if you don't understand anything about it, the life can come upon you and reset you free from everything that sin and death had already said. Life is going to make a difference. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to release light. We're going to release life. We're going to release truth. Because, see, I only have one answer. It's the answer of Jesus Christ. No matter what it is that's come against me, I have one answer. There's only one answer. And that one answer is found in the name of Jesus. It's found in the person of Jesus. It's found in the blood of Jesus. It's found in the person of his love. It's found in the person of his grace. It's found in the one who loves you always. His grace. But the name and the power of the blood, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. It's right here for you. Hallelujah. There we go. Yes, Lord. My salvation is not in my specificity of my prayer, the words that I use. My healing is not about the words and having the perfect place. It's coming and standing in life, standing in agreement and wholeness with Him. So Lord, this is the day we ascend as a group, Lord. As a group, as a whole body, Lord, we come to ascend this morning. We come to ascend in this life, in the place of life. We come to ascend into your goodness and your grace, to come and know this God of the loving kindness and tender mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you provided this place. You said that you would go forth and go forward before us and prepare a place. Today, we trust you as our door. We trust you and engage you as our door. And we allow you, Lord, to draw us up into this place. You've prepared this place for us. You said you would receive us to yourself, that we could be with you where you are. So today we're with you where you are. We're in you. You're in us. We are in you, Lord. And you're in us. We're in you. I thank you, Lord, that we can lay all things at your feet. Said, if we will just believe in you, let our heart be troubled, just believe. So we choose to believe. We choose to believe in this life that was given, this life that was surrendered. We choose to believe in the blood that was surrendered on our behalf. We stand in the covering of this blood this day. We stand as we come before you, righteous and holy and unblameable. We stand before you. Receiving of your love, receiving and knowing that we can abide here with you. I thank you that you are the way and the truth and the life. You are the God who was and is to come. You're not limited by time. So we stand with you. Into this place for the power The power that put an end to death has raised us up here to be with you, Lord. It's raised us up to be in front of you. The power that put an end to death has brought us into this mercy and this grace. Today, Lord, we all put on the blessing of Abraham. Our sin and iniquity is remembered no more. You've caused us to come and to stand in your holy place, to stand in your judgment place, Lord, with you, because our sin and iniquity is remembered no more. We're with you. You're in us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, now I thank you, Lord, that in you is life, and that life is the light of men. Thank you. That light just begins to surround us all right now. That light begins to surround us all. That light begins to surround our soul, surround our spirit, surround our past and our present, our future. That light begins to swell and begins to command all of our past and all of our future. It begins to bring order. In your light, Lord, we see light. In your light, we see light this day. And it brings order to all of our generations. It brings order to every generation, Lord. I thank you that you are our advocate. And every family pattern, Father, every familiar spirit, we subject it to the light this morning. We subject it to the light this morning. It has no more dominion over us, Lord, because we put the light of Christ and the blood of Christ on it this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we put the light and blood of Christ on it this morning. All the echoes of the past, shame and pain, Lord, right now, we put the blood of Jesus upon it. Father, all the idolatry, all the pride, all the encumbrances of the Masonic and secret societies, Father, all the secrets and cycles and patterns of fear, poverty, sexual sin and divorce, idolatry, addiction and depression, hopelessness and helplessness, Lord. Every agreement made with the enemy, every pact, Lord, must bow now to the name of Jesus, to the light of Jesus. We stand in the light and it must bow down. We stand in the light, we stand in the name, it must bow down. Because we're in the light and in the name. We're in the light and in the name. Your light is all around us. Your name is all around us. We're saturated with your purpose. We're saturated with your glory. We're saturated this day. I thank you, Lord, that you're crowning us in your glory. You're crowning each and every one of these in the anointing, Father. Crowned in your anointing. The all agreement, Lord, made over us in the past must be canceled now in the name of Jesus. All agreement made over us, Lord. For we are co-resurrected. Every inherited physical disease, every inherited mental disease, Lord, we submit them now. We submit them now to the holiness of God. We submit them now to the light of Christ. We submit them now to the life of Christ. We submit them now, Lord. Every inherited characteristic, Lord, that doesn't line up with your throne, that doesn't line up with your kingdom, that doesn't line up with your goodness, Father, we submit them now. I thank you, Lord, that we're no longer under the shadow of the idolatry of the past. We're no longer under the shadow of the addictions of the past, Lord, because, Lord, we can come rejoicing in your light. Come fully confident in your life that touches and removes every bit of darkness, that touches and removes every sin and every stain, that touches and removes every sin and every stain from every generation, Lord. Not only in my past generations, Lord, but even going forward, Lord, as you would have it in our families, Father. We send forth, Father, we send forth light into our new, into the rest of our family, Lord. All witchcraft. All witchcraft, Lord, we break it off now. All witchcraft, all sorcery, we break it off now. All satanic worship and the product of a satanic worship in our life, Father, we break it off now. I thank you, Lord, that we cancel those assignments, Father, right now. We cancel every spirit, Father, that came in because of those things. I speak, Father, there's a breaking off of all those assignments and all those spirits now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit that has been attached to us because of a generational issue must go now. Must go now. Must go now. All abuse, Father, whether it be sexual, spiritual, or other, Lord, must go now. All the fruits, Father, of unrighteousness must go now. All the darkness, Father, must go now. All the hopelessness, helplessness, poverty mindsets, Father, must go now. Because, Father, we're standing in the light. We're standing in the truth. We're rejoicing with your truth. We're rejoicing to be in your heart, in your life. Today, Lord, we have ascended together. Today, we have ascended as one. Today, we stand in a holy oneness, Father. A holy oneness, a holy kavod. And I thank you, Lord, that you're delivering and setting free, Lord. That you're breaking off every symptom, Father, and everything that would cause us to slow down. Everything that would be coming against us, Father, to try to drag us back, Father. No more dragging back to the past, Lord. No more dragging back to the past, Father, because light has come and those things are cut off. All the familiar spirits, Lord, must run now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We are placing all of the assignments of the enemy, past, present, future, under the name and under the life of Christ. For we are all and in all. He is all and in all. He is over us and in us. And Lord, we rejoice to be in you. And we rejoice to stand with you. And we stand in the freedom of it and release the freedom of it over the hearts, over the lives, over the ministries, over the workplaces, right now. Right now. We rejoice, Lord, because we serve an awesome God, a holy God. We serve a God of love, whose loving kindness is to thousands of generations, whose loving kindness has been to thousands of generations. And we stand rejoicing in this love, rejoicing in the love that we receive this day. We stand rejoicing to know you, to be known by you, to be gathered in by you. Lord, and I thank you. You equip us, Lord. You equip us in your word so your truth releases into the next generation. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. 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 Thank you, Mary Lynn. Thank you. A family that prays together stays together, okay? We're praying together here. We're praying to release everything that's attacked you. Everything that's tried to attach itself, everything that's tried to hold you back. We're releasing right now into the place of truth. We're receiving life and realizing that life can now come into not just me, but my past generation. And it doesn't just have to stay in me. It can be released by me and through me to others who are in my physical contact, but are also my previous generation. You don't have to stand and let the enemy beat you up any longer. If there's hopelessness, if there's helplessness, if there's depression, if any of those things has touched your heart, no. God has given you a way out because he's given you life. Amen. Amen.